Church family, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. 16, verse 15. And would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Get ready. We're going to turn in just a moment to Acts chapter 8, but I want you to see what God's word says for us here. Just a few moments ago, we prayed for God to send laborers. We also prayed that we would be a witness in reaching out because the fields are white unto harvest. Well, here is a call. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Lord Jesus said to those he was preaching to, not just his disciples, but many, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I don't think that leaves out anybody. Amen? I don't know that I would ever call you a creature, but every living being. God's word says, go and preach the gospel to all the world, to every living creature. Now, let me ask you what that means. I'm just remain standing for a moment. We're going to be turning to Acts. But I wonder, what does it mean when it says to go? He said to them, go into all the world. That is a command for us. We know that Matthew 28, 19 tells us the same thing. Go into all the world, preaching and teaching and baptizing and that. We remember that command. But let me ask you, who is this command to? The what? The church. It's to the church, right? Okay, here we go. This means yes. This means no. I don't want any of this. Who is this message to? The church. There's no doubt about that because the church is and are those who belong to Christ Jesus. But what does the church mean? Again, we've gone through this many times in the last number of weeks. What does the church mean? It means who? Point to the church then. There you go. Now point to another part of the church around you so that they know for sure who you're talking about. The church is you. If the church is to go to all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, then what this is saying is that you, now wait a minute, don't look to that other person now, that you, the person sitting in your seat or standing in front of your seat right now, you are the one who's supposed to be going and sharing the gospel. I believe, I truly believe with all my heart that real Christians are getting tired of the country club and they are ready and waiting to sign up for the mission club to serve Jesus Christ. I think there's a lot of people that are along for the ride, but I also believe that there are those that are on fire to say, I want to do more. Is this all there is? No, it's not. It's not just coming to church and receiving a sermon and getting a lesson and praying together and patting each other on the back and a little encouragement. Folks, belonging to Christ is belonging to a service of the Lord Almighty God. I believe that a lot of Christians are just tired of sitting in the pews or the chairs, whatever. We just happen to have a little more comfortable pews, all. I think a lot of people are tired of that, and they're ready to start making a difference. Am I wrong? This means yes. This means no. Am I wrong? Well, if you're ready to get off the bench and get on the field for Christ Jesus, if you want to serve God somewhere out of the dugout, if you will, to get beyond the walls of the church, you need to know some things. And I want you to look at this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Because I want you to see that if you really do want to serve God and you want to get out of the walls and you want to do something for Christ Jesus, you want your faith to mean something, I want you to see what God's word says is going to be happening to you. Because truly serving God will cost you. That's all there is to it. Did it cost Christ Jesus for us? Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. And it says that it was talking about the martyrdom of Stephen in the verses before. We're going to come back to that. And it says that it begins and it says that Paul approved. But in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church. Point to the church. A great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial. We're going to come back and read about Stephen in a moment. And they made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Do you understand what that's saying? He was making a mess of the church. He was warring against God's church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Well, I'm going to tell you, they didn't really look forward to getting out of prison because many of them died in prison. So it was more than just being hauled off for their faith in Christ to be out for a little while and inconvenienced. Verse 4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now, why did they scatter? Because there was persecution and they couldn't just stay where they were. I wonder, is that what it's going to take for us to get out of the walls? Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. We know there's an unchristian place, right? We know it was. And he preached Christ to them. What did he preach? Socialism? Social justice? Did he preach to be a Republican or a Democrat? What did he preach? There's your message. What's the guy's name? The comedian said, here's your sign. The multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things that spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Great joy in the city. I want you to understand this as we move into the word, and I'm going to let you be seated in just a moment, but before we do, I want you to understand, what brought the great joy? Were they throwing out money from the government? Was it because of all of their programs? Was it because everybody got a new house? Why were they rejoicing? Because the gospel was being presented and people were getting saved. Would you pray with me? Lord, we've got your word firmly in our grasp right now. We understand what it's saying, but God, it is my prayer, and I pray it is all of our prayer, that we would go beyond reading and understanding into obedience to realize, Lord, that you want us to move beyond the walls and to serve this world in such a manner that there is great joy because of people coming to Jesus. God, we look for happiness in so many places when we need to be looking for joy in Jesus. Help us, Father, as we serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? We've got this understanding that the people of Christ's church were under great persecution. And the church was going out and witnessing and sharing and ministering in such a manner that people were coming to know Jesus Christ. Why? Because they quit just going to worship and they went out to serve the Lord their God. I truly believe that there are many Christians that have been waiting to say, you know, I need to be prepared. I learned a new phraseology this last week. Our speaker that was talking to us about discipleship was saying more Christians would witness if they had more tools in their belt to use. Does that make sense? So I'm going to try to put some tools in your belts in days to come to do a better job of that with you and for you. But I believe that many Christians are ready to serve and ready to do something for God. They don't just want to sit and praise. They want to praise and go. So that's what we're going to be looking at. But understand this, that going beyond the walls to serve God will cost you something. It will cost you dearly. It seems like everybody wants something for nothing. Amen? Did anybody see that sign on the way to church this morning? If you came down 1488, it said, free car wash. Did anybody else see that one? Don't you believe it? They want you to sign up for a monthly service for that free car wash. No free lunch. We've heard it. Do we believe it? Do we understand it? Why do you think so many people buy a lottery ticket? You didn't buy one this week, did you? Oh, don't waste your money. Listen, put it in the building fund. Amen. And if you do win that lottery, I guarantee you, somebody told me one time, he said, you wouldn't take any money if somebody won it from the lottery, would you? And I said, yeah, I would. The devil's had it long enough, right? I don't want you gambling. I don't think it's a good use of your money. So there's your side note and there's your side sermon. Received? This means yes. Don't you bring me a ticket and say, I bought the church a lottery ticket. Get your heart right. All right. That's why so many people do buy a lottery ticket. They want something for nothing or for very little. You remember back in the day? Just a few short years ago, all these land developments would send you a letter. And they would say, if you come to our place, we will give you $50 for gas and a free food processor. That one was when food processors first came out, and it was the latest, greatest. I know some of you have no idea what a food processor is. If you're under 20, it was a really fancy gadget that all of us gadget people really wanted, okay? And they were cool. I mean, they had powerful engines and great big glass pitchers, and it would chop and it would dice, and I can give you the whole commercial. Well, we went and got one. Do you remember it? It was a little plastic thing that you hand cranked. It was a food processor, all right. But I'm going to tell you, they don't get you out there before something that they're really going to bless you with a great gift. It's a gimmick. And here we are. There's so many of us that are still looking for something for nothing. I wonder why it is that some people work so hard to get something for free rather than to earn it. It happens in religion too. Don't you think it doesn't? People come to Christ and think, well, I'm going to surrender to the Lord and I'm going to give my life to God because I want to go to heaven. And besides all that, God, what are you going to give me? And that's their prayers, is it not? Their wish list before God. God, I need, and God, I need, and God, I need, and God. I didn't see that in these folks that were being persecuted. In Acts, we've got a good example that serving God will cost you. If you go back and read chapter 7, which we're going to do in just a moment, you'll see that it cost Stephen his life. Stephen served God with all of his heart, and it cost him his life. And it cost many other people their lives as well, many martyrs for the Lord. And it cost many members time in prison, if not the rest of their life in prison. The scripture says that the members were being dragged out of their homes and they were put in prison. Well, let me tell you this. When they got out of prison, if they did, they went back and they didn't have a home anymore. Do you know that we know people today that that's happened to? Matter of fact, he's preaching when, Brenda? We said he was going to come in August sometime. Yeah. Ivan Bykov, if you don't know Ivan, he's going to be here. He's going to share his story with you again of how preaching for Christ cost him his country, his home, his business. They shipped him out with his wife with a little 2-year-old girl and pregnant, and had to leave her there. He got her back. They got back together. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people that serve God that it costs them. Because if you're truly going to serve God, it's going to cost you. Stepping for Christ might cost you your job. We've seen that, haven't we? It might cost you relationships with your family, with your friends. But I'm going to tell you this, it's certainly going to cost you some time and effort. Because if you are going to be serving God, you need to be in the Word of God. And you need to be serving Him with your time, with your abilities. And if you're not doing that, you're not serving. Folks, there is no free lunch. So I'm going to tell you this. Nothing is valuable. Nothing as wonderful. Nothing as rewarding as serving God is without cost. Are you ready to serve the Lord? Then we understand we're going to be paying a price. He's worth it. So the first thing we need to remember is this. If you're going to go beyond the walls of the church to serve, it's going to cost you something. Second thing is, going beyond the walls to share the gospel will be demanding. I don't know who told you it's easy, but it's not. As a pastor, as an evangelist, as a preacher, I still go up to a door and I'm knocking on the door to witness to people, and something inside of me goes, oh, I hope they're not home. Isn't that awful? I don't know what it is. Satan just puts this fear into me all of a sudden. Even though I'm excited about sharing, Satan makes me feel like, oh, you're going to run into a bad one here. You better hope they're not home. What's wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. It's called sin. And that sin nature lets the devil talk to me too many times. Amen? Well, don't let him talk you out of serving the Lord, because I cannot tell you how many times I have felt that way and knocked on the door with a trembling knees, but going out with a joyful heart because somebody got saved. Don't quit. Don't stop. Going beyond the walls to share the gospel will be demanding. Serving Jesus Christ in the marketplace has never been easy. You know, sometimes it's hard to serve him right here in the church, isn't it? But serving him in the marketplace is even worse. Where did Jesus take his disciples? Did they meet in the church? They were the church. So wherever they went, they were the church. Where did Jesus take his disciples? Yes, he taught in the synagogue whenever he went to some places. He would go and teach in the synagogue. He would start there. But where did he always move to? The marketplace, the hillsides, the people. He spent most of his ministry outside the church building. It's going to be demanding. You are going to need to be studying the Bible to share God's word. How can you share God's word if you don't know his word? Amen? So, I don't know who coined it, but it's pretty good. You can't be poured out if you're not filled up. I had a pastor friend. I won't tell you his name, but his initials are Hal Wycopen. He's a dear friend. He and I went hunting one time. It's just a few years ago. And it was one of these places where they take you out on the back of this big truck. It was so cool. We got to go around and I paid for one of those little coal bucks, you know, like this. Well, he paid for the big boy. And we finally found him. And he was in the back. And there he was, I mean, 100 yards away. This monster came out, and we're all kind of going, well, there it is. And he's up in the seat. And the guy is going, take your shot, take your shot. He's about to go, take your shot. And we heard, it got totally still and quiet. And we heard, click. The deer is gone. We never saw him again. He did not get a deer. Looked up and said, what happened? He goes, I forgot to put a bullet in. So, okay, Barney. Click. You know what his nickname is among those of us who hunt with him today? Click. Click. Let me tell you, don't expect that you're going to hit anything if you forget to put a bullet in, folks. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot be effective if you don't load your gun. You cannot be effective if you don't load your heart with the word of God. It is your sword, God's word says. It is your offensive weapon. It cuts the heart asunder. Just use the word of God. If you don't have it, you can't use it. Second thing, it's going to be demanding not only because you need to study God's word, but you're going to need to spend more time in prayer. You're going to need to pray. Spiritual warfare is real. Hey, Mitch, where are you? Mitch, there he is. Is spiritual warfare real? You have any problems with folks, with things getting ready for camp? Just a few? Happens every year. Happens all the time. Spiritual warfare is battled not with the flesh and blood, but with the spirit. That's prayer, dear friends. You need to be praying. You cannot expend spiritual energy that you do not have. It's like trying to use that cordless drill, guys, you got for Christmas without putting it on the charger first. You ever been so frustrated as when that happens? Can you imagine the Lord God looking down to call on us to say, I need you here. Here's your service. Go get them. And it takes some serious motivation to share your faith with others. It really does. Even when we get all excited, when we're all prayed up and we're in worship and we're here together, and then we get outside and we're going, yeah. And we just falter in our steps. It takes some serious motivation from our Lord Jesus Christ to move us beyond ourselves. Satan works so hard against you. He will give you every excuse not to go, not to be used. He will put every inconvenience in front of you to keep you from getting where you need to be to serve and to share and to give your testimony. Have you ever made a commitment without resistance? That's why so many people don't keep their commitments, because it's hard. Nobody ever said it was easy. And anybody who ever told you, oh, just come to Jesus, the rest of life is easy, they weren't Christians. It's not easy, but it's worth it. There's a difference. Building a house is not easy, but if you do it right, it's worth it. God wants to build your house. He's the foundation. Your faith, dear friend, will be tested. Count on it. If you start to serve God, your faith is going to be tested. The devil's working against you, and that's why it's so hard. But don't quit. Don't stop. Serving is never easy. But dear friends, I want to close with this. Serving Christ is greatly rewarding. He is going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Somebody said this one time. They said, every person who dies is going to be surprised. Those who die without Jesus are going to be surprised at how bad it is. And those who die with Jesus are going to be surprised at how wonderful it is. We're going to get up there and go, why didn't you tell me? And they said, you try to explain this with words. You try to explain what this is about with words. You know, you understand this. The serving Christ will be rewarding. Verses 5 through 8, I want you to look again. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. It was rewarding for Philip. Many people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many were healed. Many were healed of demon possession. Let me ask you, have you ever won someone to Jesus Christ? Have you ever witnessed and shared your faith with someone so that they came to know Jesus Christ and prayed to receive Jesus? I'm going to tell you, there is nothing like it in this world. What a difference it is to know that you introduced them to the Savior of the world. That they will not go to hell because you shared your faith and Jesus saved them. You know, it's not us to save them. Let me just take a little side note. It's not up to you to save them. Amen. You know that, right? You share. You introduce them. Jesus does the saving. I saw a sign somewhere. I'll put it up on our sign sometime. It said, "Be fishers of men." It says, I got to figure out how it goes. I just lost it. It says, "If you're be a fisher of men," he said, "you catch him, he'll clean them." There we go. I wanted to say it right because I mess them up sometimes. You catch them, he'll clean them. It's not up to us to change their life. It's just us, up to us to share with them who can change their life. Going beyond the walls to serve Christ will be rewarding. I want you to look back with me at Acts chapter 7, because it was not only rewarding for Philip, but it was rewarding for Stephen. And some of you go, "Well, wait a minute. Didn't he die?" Yes. "Wasn't he stoned to death because he was preaching the word of God?" Yes. But it was rewarding for Stephen. Let's review how he died in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 and following. It says that, it tells us there as you read the whole chapter, that Stephen had been preaching the hard word of God and bringing these men to conviction because of the things that they were doing that was against God. And it says in verse 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." They were convicted. Did Stephen convict them? No. The Holy Spirit convicted them. "And they gnashed at Stephen with their teeth." I don't know exactly what that means, but it means they were angry. "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God." Wait a minute. He gazed into heaven and saw what? I thought he was on earth. He was, wasn't he? It says he was filled with the Spirit and he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It's the only time we see Jesus standing at the right hand of God in the scripture. "And said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul," who became who? Paul. "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God." They stoned him as Stephen was what? Praying. Saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, why does it mean he fell asleep? It means they killed him. But he slept because his death was a sleep from which he would awaken to life. Amen. He was preaching the true and the convicting word of God. And as they were taking his life, Stephen saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen, dear friends, was rewarded for his faith. Yes, he was martyred. His life was taken by the hands of angry men, but his forever spirit was and is and shall be rewarded for eternity. Serving God outside the walls means that you will be rewarded. And part of your reward is growing spiritually here. Do you remember your early days as a Christian? You thought you knew so much. You thought you understood the blessings of God. But you'll grow. And your spiritual blessings will increase. And God's going to give you the fruit of the Holy Spirit as a part of that daily blessing. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. You will experience great joy seeing other people grow because of your ministry, because of your testimony, because of your faith, because of your prayer. You will see it. You will be rewarded, even here on this earth, but even more so in heaven. You will experience, as the scripture says, great joy when you see people come to Jesus and when you see people changed by God's Holy Spirit. But once again, dear friends, let's be very clear about all of this. In serving God and getting outside of these walls to serve the Lord, it will cost you something to serve God. Salvation is not the end. You don't just get saved and say, beam me up, Lord, and that's it. He leaves you here for his time, for you to serve, for you to give, for you to do what you need to. It is your new beginning. It's not your end. It's not your ticket out. It's your ticket to start. It's your buy-in, if you will, to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth. And it will be demanding because nothing of value is easy. Nothing of value is easy. But it will also be rewarding. So let me ask you, will you pray with me right now? Would you just bow your head where you are? Enter your prayer closet, each and every person. I just want you to be still. Praise team's even going to be still for just a moment. Would you seek the heart of God right now? Would you pray with me? Are you willing to renew your walk with Jesus Christ right now? Are you willing to do that? No matter where you are, can it be better? Are you tired of sitting on the sidelines? Are you ready for your life, your faith to mean something? Would you listen to that still small voice of God right now? Would you just hear Christ Jesus speak to your heart? What is he asking you to do? Don't ignore his call. If you ignore his call, he'll knock for a little while and he'll move on. Would you make a commitment to your heavenly Father right now? God, what do you want me to bring to you?